Hello, welcome to Locked on Sharks, the premier hockey podcast of your favorite team in the Bay Area. And on today's episode, we get to know our newest rival in the Seattle Kraken. So we're going to learn about the Kraken and get you guys ready for the Kraken 2022-2023 season with our friend Erica over at Locked on Kraken. So all that and more on today's episode of Locked on Sharks.
You're Locked on Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm your host, JD Young, contributor at Fear the Fin and San Jose Hockey Now. I want to thank you guys, of course, for making us your first listen. We're free and available where you get podcasts. And of course, you can subscribe on YouTube, where we've got you covered for your team every day, or at least 3 days a week right now. And in today's episode, I have Erica. We recorded this a couple weeks ago where, you know, we kind of talk about the Kraken and kind of how they're starting to put their franchise together and, you know, where kind of the Kraken's season is going to, you know, take them this year. So enjoy my interview with Erica. But first, I do have to let you guys know that today's episode is brought to you guys by Bet Online. Bet Online has covered more this season with more props, odds, and lines than before. Bet Online, where the game starts. All right. And now we bring in Erica of Locked on Kraken. Erica, I know you're in Florida right now enjoying the sunny weather. How are you doing?
Hey, I can't complain. There's a nice breeze right now, so that's exciting. I haven't gotten to the beach yet, but I'm hoping, fingers crossed, I'll make my way to the shore tomorrow.
That's good. Yeah, I was in the pool today with the boys, and yes, there's nothing better right now than enjoying the weather while you can.
Exactly.
All right, so we're going to get into the Kraken and kind of continue our Get to Know the Enemy series. Let's start with the offseason. What I think the biggest news, of course, was the draft for the Kraken, right? And having Shane Wright fall to you guys at number four, never in this world did you think Wright was going to be there, right?
Absolutely right. You know, I was talking to another one of our Pacific Division rivals for both of us, and I was talking to Jess Belmosto, and I was saying I didn't even really do a deep dive into Shane Wright as far as an option, because there was just so much that was saying that he was going one, maybe two. So with us having the four pick, I didn't really do a deep dive. And then when I saw how the draft was going, I was like, all right, I gotta read up on this guy, get to know him a little bit more. But a pleasant surprise, especially being an expansion franchise. Everything you hear in hockey is how hard it is to build up the middle, especially at the centerman position. So goaltending, I think we still got to figure out. Defense, I'd like to see us work on, and I know we'll get into that, but to have two high draft picks both at the center position, I think is very promising for the Seattle Kraken.
Yeah, I mean, going into last year's draft, Matty Beniers and William Eklund were my two favorite players going in throughout the draft and through the whole draft process. And yeah, starting with Beniers and then Shane Wright in back-to-back years, that is a pretty awesome way to get things going, because I was expecting them to go defense just because I thought Wright was going to be gone. You know, it's like, okay, if you go defense, you know, for center defense to kind of start things off. But yeah, it most likely Wright's going to be making his NHL debut this year. As I mean, we're recording this in August, but as it seems like now he probably going to be playing the NHL, right?
That's what all signs are pointing to. I think Ron Francis and company are saying all of the right things, basically saying that he'll have every opportunity, he and Beniers, to make the roster. So they're really, going to play it out, see how things go. That being said, you also hear in the same press conference, Ronnie Francis saying things like, you know, they're just expecting to have to, in free agency, in a handful of years, pay these guys outright, and want to make sure that they're not, kind of handcuffing themselves in a position now where they can't pay them later. So I think there's so much that they're really future planning on both Wright and Beniers that it makes it hard for me to see a scenario unless something goes wrong injury-wise, which of course we don't want to see. But it's hard to imagine that we won't see both Beniers and Wright in the NHL this season.
Yep. Yeah, I let the kids play. They're too good. We saw Beniers in his little bit of time last year. And yeah, Shane Wright. There's a reason why Shane Wright probably could have been the first overall pick. And yeah, he's really good. So let's get into the free agency. I know that, you know, the Kraken, they're doing this slow. They're not trying to rush things. We're not going to see a Vegas 2.0. But, you know, they saw a pretty active free agency. So how would you kind of grade their free agency?
Yeah, I think if we set aside the draft and really just focus on free agency, then I'm around the B minus is kind of where I've been sticking there consistently. And that's because, again, I do think that defense was a problem for us last season. And I think we did make some improvements, but it does seem like we really focus more on the forwards than on defense as far as looking at the long-term contracts, looking at just some of the caliber of player that we went after early in free agency. So I think those are good additions because it's not like we can't use more goals. That being said, I just felt that our defense was big, but not very mobile. Mm-hmm. And that caused problems with our entries and exits. We couldn't be, we didn't have enough players, I think, that could reliably carry the puck through all three zones. And I think that was a little bit of a problem for the Seattle Kraken.
Yeah. So I guess maybe they're hoping more help in the front to kind of alleviate the pressure on the back end. I think kind of the Sharks kind of went with the same approach this offseason with, let's solidify the bottom six, and maybe that'll help make everybody else's job easier. We're not having to kind of tax some of these star players to do a little bit, you know, too much. So you touched on the goaltending. Old friend Martin Jones is in Seattle. What are the Kraken going to do? Because they're quietly in the same kind of position that the Sharks are at right now, where they have three NHL caliber goaltenders on the team in Grubauer, Chris Reager, and now Martin Jones. One of them going to play the waivers game? What are they going to probably end up doing here?
Well, it's really not going to be a problem until at the earliest March. And that's because Drieger suffered an injury when he was playing with Hockey Canada. And so he's coming back from an ACL. We also, with Drieger, it's really unfortunate that we didn't get a good feel for what he could do consistently over time. He was one of our players early on that was out and sidelined because of COVID. And then he had multiple little injuries here and there that had him out of the lineup. So Drieger, at least right now, not an issue. And so that does give Martin Jones an opportunity more than likely for him to come in and be with Philip Grubauer. I mean, we also have Joey Decord that we have to figure out what we're going to do there. But I think that Joey Decord probably going to stay at the AHL level as the Firebirds are going to start being solidified. He was so great for the Charlotte Checkers last season. We did see him a handful of times, and I think he did just about as well as we could expect him to do. But I think giving Decord a little bit more time, a little bit more consistency and development, and I think Jones, barring any other injuries, let Decord stay in the AHL, and let's see what we get in Jones until then Drieger comes back, and then we'll figure all of that out later in the season.
Yeah, and Grubauer, I mean, you know, of course, they gave him the big contract, pried him away from the Avalanche. Started a little rough, but kind of found his game as the season went on, it seemed like.
Yeah, I think so. I say it all the time. He just never looked comfortable. And we do see that there were some changes, particularly at the coaching position for goaltending. Andrew Allen is now a goaltending scout for us. He was the goaltending coach. So we'll see if that makes a difference, but that was one of the immediate changes immediately as the offseason started. I mean, as we're getting the exit interviews, once those wrapped, we found out about the goalie change or the coaching change, excuse me. So I'm hopeful that some of whatever wasn't working just overall in that system, Philip Grubauer will be a little bit more competent, a little bit more comfortable, and hopefully that will show in his performance.
Gotcha. All right, guys, before we continue our conversation with Erica and we look at kind of what's going to, you know, make the Kraken and kind of continue the preview of the 2022-2023 season, do need to let you guys know about our friends over at Bet Online. Bet Online, of course, the number one place for all your sports gambling needs. They've got you covered for odds, lines, and everything you need heading into the fall. You can find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball. You got NFL starting up, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. They continue to be the top online resource for your sports wagering information. From live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts, they have you covered. So head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the action happening right now. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right. We're still a little while out, but what do you think is the biggest question for this team heading into training camp?
Biggest question for me, I think, is do we have enough offense? I think on paper, things are looking good. I still wonder, though, what that's going to look like in games. We had a lot of great kind of write-ups about us, particularly on the goaltending side going into last season, and that did not come to fruition. As we all know, though, goaltending is one of those things that's definitely hit or miss. Don't think we can afford to miss too much when it comes to offense. And so I'm very curious to see who's really going to step up. How many players can we get back that are going to remain healthy and take it on their shoulders to make this a better offensive team?
Yeah, I mean, we right there with you with the lack of goal scoring where it's, you know, it's you can't win every game, you know, 2-1 or 3-2. Sometimes you got to score goals. And yeah, that's my biggest worry about the Sharks is too, is just going to be the lack of offense. And, you know, that's my worry is they're just not going to be able to score goals again. So what do you think is going to be the team's biggest strength? And again, I guess the weakness is going to be the lack of scoring, but what do you think is going to be how this team is going to be defined?
I think we did add some veteran leadership, which I think was missing. I think we have a lot of gritty players. I always like to give a shout out to Ryan Donato. Always loved his game. And I think he battled, he battled big time to, make a space for himself in that first season. I don't think that the Seattle Kraken, I don't like the deal that they gave him, particularly comparative to a guy like Morgan Geeky. I've been pretty consistent in saying that, but Donato wanted to be with us. He's back for at least one more year. So if we can get more players that bring that energy, I mean, we lost Tanev to an injury, so we didn't have that consistently. I think Eberle is another great leader, but also can bring that energy. So I'm very excited to see if we'll elevate the level of play. I think we were known as kind of more of a blue collar team, nice guys, you know, say all the right things in press conferences. I want to see us get a little more gritty. And so I think the veteran leadership and just the hunger and a little more fight, I'm excited to see how that's going to play out and maybe change the cadence almost of how we play.
Then I should ship you the entire bottom six of the Sharks. You would probably enjoy the grittiness there. So, all right. So, you know, again, I think both of our teams are going to be very similar where it's like we're probably going to be pretty defensively structured, like, you know, kind of structure, but I think we're both going to be in that kind of can we score more than three goals a night type of situation. So I feel like the Sharks and Kraken are pretty close there. What do you think is the best case scenario for the Kraken this season? And what do you think is the worst case scenario?
Ooh, that's tough to say. Best case scenario, I mean, we finished dead last in the Pacific. I'd like to see us jump into at least, you know, like that 5-6 spot. I think it's possible. The thing is that everyone talked about us coming into the Pacific Division and being a weaker division. But when that happens, those are the teams that get higher draft picks.
Yes.
And ultimately, that's going to tilt, in theory at least, right? It should tilt how the division is playing, and or even just give them options to bring in more seasoned players. So I would really like us to start jockeying for position and for playoff position in the Pacific Division. I think that's best case scenario. Absolute worst case scenario is that we, I guess, win less than 27 games. I mean, you know, like that's a, seems like a pretty low bar to be able to overcome, but I'd have to say that's worst case scenario is digressing, right? Is doing worse than what we did in our inaugural season.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the Kraken, it's all about veneers and right. Like if those guys come out and show like, oh, they're NHL caliber players, that I think that's your best case. And if, you know, if Wright maybe struggles a little bit, or I think Beniers is gonna be totally fine, but like if Wright maybe struggles a little bit to begin with, that's probably my worst case, best case, you know, for them. But yeah, wins and losses right now, those are your two guys, those are your dudes, those are the most important, those are the keys of the franchise right now. So
yeah, and I think that's interesting. I think everyone obviously is talking about that, but I don't want us to focus so much just on those guys at the sake of everybody else, because that also is not going to help them. Mm-hmm. You can't win with just two guys. Are they cornerstones? Absolutely. But
Edmonton's trying their best with two guys. Yeah,
but I mean, and then you know they're not playing on the ice at the same time, so it's not even like you can do that. So I think that is an interesting conversation, and I'm very curious to see how that plays out. I don't want us to be all in on Beniers and Wright at the cost of everything else, because again, center was not the only place we needed to improve. We needed to improve in a lot of areas, and I still have a lot of questions defensively and goaltending. I think, you know, they didn't earn enough goodwill for us to not question and doubt what goaltending is going to look like.
Oh, Martin Jones will solve that, believe me.
Hey, here's hoping he gets back to, you know, those Sharks years, right?
Well, the pre-contract, new contract Sharks years. Those are the years you want. So not the 3 years of .897 save percentage in a row.
Fair enough, yeah.
All right, guys, before we finish up with Erica, and then, of course, we look at kind of the Pacific as a whole. We recorded this, of course, before the, before Kadjer signed with the Flames. But, you know, it's kind of still, a lot of the stuff is still the same. Do want to let you guys know about Locked On NHL. So make sure you guys, when you're done listening to this, go check out Locked On NHL. They've got you covered. You know, they're still pumping out a bunch of content. They just finished up their division by division power rankings, where the Sharks were last. But yeah, go check out the Locked On NHL show, wherever you get podcasts. And of course you can check them out on YouTube as well. Who's the wild card player for this year, or kind of the player that you're expecting to make a big jump?
So I think I'll start with one that's less obvious. Everyone that listens to Locked On Kraken probably knows exactly where I'm going with this one. But I want to start with Justin Schultz, because I also love, I'm a sucker for defense in just about every sport. I think defense is so important. And Justin Schultz is one of those veteran players that I mentioned that we brought in, will look to play a different role on this team. Obviously, people are looking at Burakovsky or Bjorkstrand, and I think they'll have a pretty big impact as well. But as far as where we were last season, and where we can really make some gains with some of the players that we brought in, I'm very curious to see if Justin Schultz can bolster the defense in a way that we just didn't see last season.
Oh, man, I'm very much in the defenses for nerds. We should just play all offense camp. So, oh, no.
Well, in that case, then, again, my second pick was, I would love to see Ryan Donato just, like, go all out. He's got 1 year. He got 1.2 mil. Apparently, he had higher offers elsewhere. I want to see this guy. You know, he just got engaged. I'd love to see him make a really strong case to make Seattle his home and kind of say, listen, I did you a favor, and now you got to do me a solid. Like, I want to be here. Let's make it happen. So I'd love to see Donato, but I'm definitely team defense. And again, we had a team that on paper was supposed to be solid defensively, and they didn't look great defensively. So yeah, I'll be a nerd. I'll be that if that's what it takes, because you know what? Solid defense is what you need to win championships, and that's ultimately what we want to build toward.
There you go. Donato's, you know, we had Donato, of course, during the 2020 bubble season, and he came out on fire, and it was like, dude, they should just pay him. He's good. He's good. And then, like, he kind of fell off a cliff after that, you know. Yeah, I'm rooting for Donato because, you know, bouncing around a bunch, and it'd be nice for him to kind of to finally kind of stick and make it work. So, yeah, Ryan Donato, go do stuff. all right. Most intriguing. We're gonna skip Wright and Beniers there. They do not. They're not included in this. But who's your most intriguing kind of rookie or young guys, especially on an expansion team, other than Wright and Beniers? Because that's not fair. We've already talked about them.
Fair enough. Wright and Beniers off the table. I think. You know, that's a really interesting question because other than Wright and Beniers, a lot of our younger guys are really built for our AHL team, our new AHL team. So I think that obviously Furkus Sirkus is an easy answer. You know, he's got a lot of personality, but it does sound like he's going to be someone that comes in and that takes some time to develop. I'm not thinking that we're going to get him anytime soon. You know, Nelson is another one that I think could be a lot of fun. Wear of hats, which I love. But, you know, I think there's just a lot of really young talent for this team. I don't think we're going to see, other than Shane Wright and Matty Beniers, I don't think we're going to see a lot of them break through this season. And if we do, then it goes to my worst case scenario. And we didn't do what we were supposed to do. So I think we still have some time to figure out. But just overall, it's going to be exciting that we'll have our very own AHL team. We're not co-parenting with the Florida Panthers anymore. So I'm very excited for the Coachella Valley Firebirds.
Yeah, no, their logo is pretty sweet. I'm pretty excited about that. And yeah, and I think too, just having like your AHL team kind of close, where it's like, you know, like we saw with the Sharks where, you know, COVID broke out and then all of a sudden it's like, oh crap, we got to get like seven guys off the Barracuda up to the Sharks. And yeah, it's just having them closer is so much better. I mean, yeah, and like I kind of feel bad, you know, I was talking to Jess about this, where like the, you know, the Calgary Flames AHL team was in Stockton, which is right down the street from, you know, not too far from San Jose, and then having that like hole ripped up, but then it's in going to Calgary. But it makes sense for Calgary because it's like, again, if you need a guy and like right away,
yeah,
having to try to cross the border, having to try to deal with all that stuff, it's too chaotic now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think, I'm very excited to see how that all plays out. And it will also be exciting for Seattle Kraken fans because our AHL facility is not quite built yet. We're going right down to the wire, just like we did with Climate Pledge Arena. So that our AHL team will be on the road for the first month or so, but that means that they're actually going to be playing in the Pacific Northwest and they'll be operating out of our practice facility at the Kraken Community Iceplex. So that gives us an opportunity really to get to know the young guys and vice versa, the young guys to be exposed to at least the NHL community. And I think that'll be really great as well.
Yeah, I mean, between, because you're going to have the Barracuda opening their new barn. You've got the Coachella, and then Vegas, they just finished theirs. Like, it's pretty crazy with all these AHL teams. It's, you know, they're getting the attention they deserve. So,
yep.
All right. Get you out of here on this last question. The Kraken finish where in the Pacific?
So I was taking a look, you know, again, everything in August and early August is all on paper predictions. Yep. We don't know how anything's going to pan out.
This is written in blood, Erica, if you're wrong. I'm coming back.
I know, right? Yeah, super demerit. But I think looking at the Pacific Division, looking at where we want to be, there were a handful of teams that we can probably expect to stay in that top three. I think L.A., Edmonton and Calgary are probably those three teams. So I don't think we're jockeying for those positions. Mm-hmm. I think realistically in that five or six spot is probably where we'll end up. And so, yeah, that's what I'm going to say. I'll say we'll finish at least sixth in the Pacific Division.
Yeah. I mean, we were kind of touched on it earlier. The Pacific's gonna be way better this year. Like Vegas is going to be, I think we're kind of forgetting about Vegas too. You know, if they're going to have, you know, Eichel's going to be back. You hope Mark Stone is healthy. Calgary, you know, I know they lost some guys, but I think they'll still be hanging around. Edmonton's got McDavid. Like, yeah, I think the Sharks gonna be the worst team in the Pacific, but that's just me.
I mean, as long as it's not us.
That's fine. Erica, where can the people find you?
Yeah, so of course you can find me over at Locked On Kraken. Our show can be found on social media at Locked On Kraken, all one word. And then you can find me personally at elindsay08. That's E-L-I-N-D-S-A-Y 08.
Awesome. And we'll be back at some point with something.
Looking forward to it.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Erica as we continue to get to know the enemy in the Pacific Division. I think this puts us over halfway through. We have the Kings next week, and then we got to do the Ducks and the Golden Knights as well, kind of working our way south here, I guess, anyway. But so, yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed my conversation with Erica. You know, I think the Kraken I don't think we can understate how having Matty Beniers and Shane Wright as like your first two draft picks in back-to-back years, how this is going to set up the franchise in years to come. And I love Matty Beniers. It was between him and Eklund for me. Matty Beniers was number one for a very long time until Eklund kind of took that spot from him at the end of the draft process in the 2021 draft. You know, Shane Wright was supposed to be the number one pick until literally the last day before. So I think the Kraken are going to be set up. I think you're going to have, you know, Philip Grubauer is going to regress back towards the mean of being an average goaltender. Yeah, they're going to be fine. They added some more scoring punch. You know, I think they're going to be much better this season than they were last year. So, but that's going to do it for this week. Of course, you can find the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Locked On Sharks. You can also subscribe on YouTube. So make sure you guys are doing that, especially as the season gets a little bit closer. We're going to start pumping out more content. I'm going to try to do some more after game stuff during the season on YouTube. So make sure you guys are subscribed for that. And then you can also listen to the podcast wherever you get podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Odyssey, all those places got you covered. Basically, wherever you get a podcast, you can find Locked On Sharks there. You can find me on Twitter at MyFryHole. You can, of course, find Locked On NHL when you're done listening to this. Go check them out as well. And that's going to do it for this week. We'll be back next week where I am going to have Mitch Brown. He's going to return the show, and we're going to talk about Cameron Lund. And then we got our Locked On Kings discussion as well at the end of next week, and maybe some other stuff. We'll see. So that's going to be it for this week. Bye, friends.